I wasn't yelling.
I was
doo-doo-dooing.
Doo-dooing?
I just spelled
you said doo-doo, so we're...
Doo-doo.
Yeah. Oh, it was all late. I hit like between them two. All right. So while Mark's getting his preparing stuff, I heard this the other, just like yesterday, I think, but you guys remember the whole hype on the Phantom Menace, right? The huge Star Wars is coming back for the new generation in 99.
Is it?
Well, no, I'm saying The Phantom Menace. Yeah,
when it first came out.
Really
okay.
Hyped the shit out of it.
Which was, I always got to like pause and think. That was, so episode one, because the ones that were released are 4, 5, 6.
Right.
Yeah. And so we saw the sequels before we saw the actual ones.
Yeah.
Well, so on the kid from The Phantom Menace, you know, that's the infamous one with Jar Jar Binks, which is like... it's funny to me that people like loathe that movie.
My microphone, I can't get it right. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But, like people loathe it, you know.
Well, because it's boring.
well, but the thing is, like even the fans, you know, it's the cliche, but I heard from actual people like, oh, this movie was terrible. I'm only gonna watch it 3 more times in theaters and then we'll buy it on DVD. You know, that kind of shit.
I mean, I think George Lucas kind of wrote himself into a corner. Because he had the idea of doing it this way, you know, he probably had great ambitions.
Yeah,
You know, 4, 5, and 6 was hugely successful.
He had to live up to the hype.
Yeah, but he was getting older. I don't think his heart was completely in it. And he's like, I gotta do a 1, 2, 3.
He has to do it.
Because I did it this way. I'm gonna have to. So I don't think he was like truly into it. Because, episode one, you know, you get... Even if you took Jar Jar Binks out of it, like a lot of people hated it because of Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, that's...
But if you took him out of it completely, it's still an incredibly boring movie. And there is a lot of great acting talent in it. It's not for a lack of acting talent.
That's what makes it so disappointing.
Liam Neeson,
yeah.
Natalie Portman.
Samuel L.
Samuel Jackson.
Wait, is Natalie in that one, Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought she was like in 2.
With a purple lightsaber.
Mace Windu. I know like 5 people from Star Wars and one is I know is a wig. I hear somewhere he's like still trying to petition to get like his own show or movie. Like, dude, no, come on, man. I'm sorry, Sam. Unless you're really hurting for money, which I would hope not.
We've had enough Star Wars spinoffs made. There's too many.
Well, see, that's done. That's funny that you would approach it from that side. I'm approaching from Sammy boy. There's no way you're gonna put an awesome quality movie, you know, at your age, this far removed from the lore. Like, I'm just sorry, you just can't do. And I guess this is me coming from a non fanboy, so it's not, you know, I don't have a lot of merit, I guess. But
I'm more Trekkie than I am Star Wars,
right?
But just coming from that, it's just like there's how many Star Wars shows have there been in the last 3 years?
They air like 4 at a time, dude. That's crazy.
Disney's fault.
Yeah, that's the Disney like push until it's dead, and then you know we move on.
Yeah, there's like a new Star Wars show every 2 weeks on Disney Plus.
What was it, Chapek? That More is More.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, but they're also doing, you know, the theme rides and stuff. So, of course, they got to, like, keep this alive, you know what I mean? God forbid.
I mean, you know, they made the Star Wars land at Disneyland. They should have just ended it there. It's like, this is the apex. This is the, you know, the as good as we can do. This is what everyone was waiting for, a chance to go to a place and be in the Star Wars universe.
Buy the most realistic lightsaber you can get, you know, without murdering people. So it's pretty damn like, you can't get no.
It was a really cool idea.
It is a cool idea, and it's a cool place to go.
Yeah.
Maybe put the money
but
in there.
They should, you know, stop making
Star Wars show anything. Yeah.
I mean, you reach a saturation point and the quality just isn't there when you start kicking it out too quickly.
Yeah, because people can't keep up.
Yeah.
Well, not only just people can't keep up, but also you can only create so many things. It's kind of the quantity versus quality paradox or paradigm that comes up over and over and over. To keep making as many shows as they did on different aspects, it just, the quality drops off.
Well, and don't they do, like, from, if I understand, every show and movie, whatever, it's usually like a different person, right?
So usually, yeah, it's from a different point of view.
So therefore, you're getting, like, you know, it's hard to have those weave together when you have different writers. Like, if
oh yeah,
if each of us say, like, hey, let's write a story about the little boy that does this, and you take this character, you take that character. At the end of the thing, it's going to be real hard to make a coherent story out of it. You know what I mean? Because your ideas are going to be different without us being on the same page and working at the same pace. And like, oh, because we get to a point where like, oh, this isn't working. But you're stuck in it because, like, well, because she's using it and I'm using it, so we have to keep this plot point. You know, it's like, yeah,
it'd be like if each character in Pulp Fiction had a full length movie made about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
exactly. How, yeah.
Do you think that's gonna be exciting? Do we need to know where? I forgot his name now. The main bad guy, Wallace. What's his name?
In what, Pulp Fiction?
Yeah,
or?
In Pulp Fiction.
Marcel Wallace.
Wallace. Yeah, it is, yeah. Wallace. I was thinking like his last name. You know, do we really care, one, what's in the briefcase, or like where they, you know, they remove this soul from the back of his head, that's why the band is there. Like, it's more fun and enjoyable to like to keep that mystery alive, you know?
Yeah. We definitely don't need a movie made about Zeke's gimp.
Yeah. No. No. Oh, yeah, I see cash money. I bet that one, but you know.
Oh, I get the rim shot. All right, thank you.
Well, you got the
gimp. No, I would have thought money is more appropriate. The Wilhelm scream would be more appropriate there.
Damn, right. Yeah, you're right. The delay would have killed it. I just dabbled in stand-up comedy, I know a lot about comedy. Timing is everything, man. So, yeah.
A dramatic pause.
I like to do that with stuff like I saw a guy, or I could say something like I ran into a guy with no clothes on, and it just kind of like.
What was he? Was
on TV when I was fuming, like, whoa, I should have finished that sentence. That kind of
did. You start like drinking coffee. I was just driving through your neighborhood or what, man?
It's like that meme I saw. It's like why punctuation is important. It's the difference between helping your Uncle Jack off of a horse and then helping your Uncle Jack off a horse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to go a little tamer where it's like, where you say, like, let's eat grandma or let's eat grandma.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But I do like the one Beth brought. That one I was into. So I wasn't trying to go into a Star Wars rant. I don't think I've ever seen one solid like movie through. I've seen pieces here and there. But for me, the reason for it, because the kid that played Anakin? Yeah, Anakin. Like that was his one movie, right? He did that one. And
he
then,
was a terrible boy actor.
Well, yeah, yeah. As far as child actors go, well, that's kind of without
there
going.
There are child actors that do a great job at what they do, but he was not one of them, bless his heart.
Mr. Qui-Gon, what are midichlorians?
What are midichlorians?
Okay. You got, see,
You know what, though? A lot of things like that come down to direction.
Yeah, uh-huh. See, that's what I was going to say. A lot of it's to the dialogue.
And editing is like, is that really the best take? Is that takes, really?
That was the best one.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, "We're not gonna. Let's just practice this and let's see how it goes." And he just, you know, his heart's not into it, and he's like reading off a cue card and like, "All right, let's move on." But
they were all reading off cue cards. You could see.
Really?
It.
That's how bad it is. I have, like I said, I've from what I hear, the
pod
racing.
That's why they were so. There's pod racing.
You know, my beef with the pod racing. Scene. You just opened up a can of worms.
Yeah. It's a can of...
You stepped in it now.
I vipers. It's a can of vipers.
I think we've talked about it before, or at least on our channel. But which that is? Had the... Oh, sorry. Shameless plug.
Yeah, that's what you...
No, discussions with Davis.
See, you gotta sneak...
But,
yeah. None of us are
on YouTube,
money.
Spotify, and Rumble.
But the pod racing scene had the potential to be an incredibly exciting moment in the movie.
Not necessarily make up for it.
It should have been.
It should have been. Yeah. But it was so boring.
It was
my
cliche.
God. It was cliche. It was boring. You knew he was going to win.
Yeah.
And
that's
it just kept going
around.
And going and going. It's like, oh my God. It's like, and yeah. No, yeah. It wasn't. Even it was the most dull racing scene I've ever seen in a movie ever. Yeah. Like, I always fast forward through it.
Oh, even before the race starts, you see Sebulba kind of skulking around. You know he's going to sabotage something, and then he just kind of clunk, breaks something. Yeah.
And is it one of those like where they follow him, like half the scene is him, you know, like skulking almost? Her. Yeah, and so you're like, okay, you got to show him two or three times, and then what is he up to? Like, forget about him, but not where you're sitting there like, I'm going to watch this little shitbag and see what he does, you know? But
yeah, it's like, no, they weren't even sneaky about it. It's like him just skulking around, leans on something, clunk, halfway breaks it and walks away.
Did they just stop short of like zooming on his hand as he's doing it? Like, make sure you don't miss this guy.
Yeah.
That's when he's like, okay, we get it. You know?
Like, that's really why spelling it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I just spotlight. Get the feeling that George Lucas's heart wasn't in this. He just felt like he had to do it because he had, you know, put himself in a corner with the first
second
first
director,
three.
What do they call it? The assistant director, like, took care of it, you know? He just shows up like, hey, it looks fine to me. So they're counting his $100 bills.
Merchandising, where the real money is.
Well, the kid, I guess, you know, I heard how relentlessly he was bullied, and then you hear stories about, he left Hollywood. I don't think he ever did another movie after this. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. Don't care.
Well, same with the guy that played after him, right? Like, the guy that was Anakin, like, the teenage Anakin.
Oh,
You know his name. Yeah,
I know his name.
At least his name is known because he did
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. Well, he did another, like, movie or two, but otherwise the same thing.
The problem with big role, when, like, your breakout role is a big, something big as that, is your typecast.
Yeah. Immediately.
Immediately.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Which...
It's like, you know, Daniel Radcliffe's trying so hard to break the Harry Potter typecast.
He's been naked on stage. He's been a corpse that gets abused by somebody.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually a funny movie. I like that one. I forgot the name.
The way Bob
Army
Saget...
Swiss guy, man.
Swiss Army man.
Yeah.
The way Bob Saget's trying to break... Was trying to break the Danny Tanner persona.
Oh, man, poor guy, yeah.
Tried a little too hard there.
Yeah.
Well, see, I could go deep into that, the Aristocats, because that's kind of, I watched the whole movie. That's like, he was a filthy comedian coming up, but because he, you know, did so well, and again, the only really scene he did, you know, or the big thing he did, Danny Tanner in Full House, you know what I mean? Although it is, it's funny, his little cameo in, you know, sucking dick for...
And half-baked.
Yeah. I'll never forget that one.
But yeah, so the kids are, would have been typecast.
The stacks were highly against him. Like, that was just, he'd have to make like a perfect movie to not, you know, be like that.
I heard he like got addicted to drugs and got arrested and all this stuff.
Okay,
like,
so that, yeah, I guess that was the main point of my story, 13 minutes in. But so that kid...
Wait, the story had a point?
Yeah, it did, because the whole point was about the kid and how, like, I guess child actors or whatever. But so very recently I read somewhere that he's actually in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been there 10 months, I think. Well, so I read the backstory, and his mom was talking. That's why he's like, okay, mom maybe trying to protect the child, maybe. But, like, so apparently he has schizophrenia. So that, like, he has some mental issues, whatever. But as soon as I read about him in the psychiatric hospital, I thought, like, damn, this kid got bullied so long for Star Wars that it, like, mentally broke him. Like, he's, but
damn.
So.
Well, you say that.
But see, but stop short of that, because I read in the, well, again, as the mom, but she said that no, he thought it was a great, you know, thing being in it. He just, because of his schizophrenia, he just, you know, can't focus or whatever. So it's, the schizophrenia has messed him up. That's kind of what, it has nothing to do with being bullied, because that he never really, like, you know, did an online thing. I don't know if he ever did the fan meet and greets or whatever. He'd probably get punched in the face, you know. You ruined Star Wars or whatever.
Well, yeah, so but, well, like, I heard that, you know, getting back to bullying, the guy who played Jar Jar Binks was bullied and hated on so much he actually tried to commit suicide.
Damn. I think I read that one, but he was an adult. So that's
he was an adult.
Yeah. That's still not right.
No, but I'm saying as an adult, he was, like, you know,
more mentally prepared for things like that.
No, not even that. But he like would see board. People are more, you know, likely to walk up to an adult and be like, you effing suck, man, versus like a little
child.
Kid. Yeah. I would hope so. I mean,
I would hope so.
Nine times out of ten.
I don't know. These Star Wars super fans, man.
I like that when Beth seemed like, dude, I'm not joining that crowd. You psychopaths.
Well, that's because Beth's a fan, but she's reasonable.
Yeah. I have a life that doesn't, you know.
It's like, yeah, this movie wasn't great. It was actually kind of terrible, but that just means I won't watch it.
Did you even, you know, you didn't go online and start, like,
yeah, I didn't.
Blame
to,
Mormon,
yeah,
just like, move on with my life.
Exactly.
What a concept. Don't like something, don't watch it, move on.
I think about
being
blasphemy.
Being a reasonable person?
Whenever online
madness is this.
In media, and I see people complaining about stuff and like, oh my gosh, why are we doing this, etc. Taylor Swift at the football. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I always think of the Simpsons. Just don't look.
Just don't look. Yeah. Just don't look.
I can't stand.
No, exactly. No.
I need to spend the rest of my life telling everyone.
Putting my energy, how much I hate this product.
We know people who are like that. They take things that happen in Hollywood and in pop culture. They take it personal. Everyone did this just to piss you off.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
They made Into Darkness just to ruin my childhood because I grew up watching Wrath of Khan and I'm pissed about it.
Yeah.
They went out of the way and
because I'm so special that these people know who I am and want to ruin my day.
And spend millions. I'm just gonna go
in my studio, watch Wrath of Khan, and eat some popcorn and have a good time.
Right.
That's always the thing that bugs me. Like when nowadays is the superhero thing. You know where they. These movies come out and people start trashing them, and so they're waiting for the next one, and it's kind of like, well, you know what? Maybe
don't
stop
watching.
Yeah, yeah, and then maybe they'll stop making.
If you stop watching them, they'll stop making
movie
them.
Ever. I'm only gonna watch it 3 more times today.
Today, yeah.
And
buying 5 copies. That's it.
This is what I tell some of my friends when we were talking about these movies. Like, they're like, oh my god, when are they gonna stop making these awful movies? When you stop watching them.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there's still money to be made in them, even if it's the train wreck. You know,
it doesn't matter if it's
philosophy.
Yeah,
you're still making them money.
Yeah,
it's but, I hate watching.
But I need to watch it, Mark, because otherwise, it's like, see, there you go. There you go.
If I don't, they win.
You are the reason they make these crap ass movies because you keep watching it, and they know you will.
I like the you know, you see it in Simpsons probably a lot, but I like the cliche or where they do where somebody's in the room and is like, okay, what if we just do this and just slap a fish on it, whatever, like. Brilliant, green light it or whatever. Like that happens a lot more than you would think. You know, that's how
she's got a new hat.
Yeah, there you go. It's a new hat. Like,
well, nice. That's a one of our best friends. You know, she was really trying to convince you to go watch Jurassic World.
I was like, I saw it already. She's like, you did? You went and saw it? It's like, no, I saw Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I saw the good one.
Same exact movie, except this one's called World instead of Park.
Yeah. Yeah. She explained the synopsis, and you're like, yeah, they did that 30 years ago.
It's Jurassic Park, dude.
That's exactly what it is. Where the hell is the...
I mean, that's kind of the
That's just, you know, brand loyalty to people. People get so loyal to brands, and if you say anything to challenge that, they get really pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, there are people out there that will just defend to the death Star Trek V.
Which was that one?
That was the most train wreckiest train wreck of the original.
Of all train wrecks there's ever been.
The original, like, 9.
See, so it's not the more recent ones, because I've seen, like, 1 or 2 of those.
Well, Mark chooses not to acknowledge the more recent ones.
Have you watched them? Have you watched them?
I've watched each one of them once.
Well, that's
and
all
he moved on.
I went to the library because I wasn't going to put any of my money into these train wrecks.
Yeah,
went to the library, borrowed them out for free from the library.
Yeah. Check out your local library.
Watched them once so that I can at least say I watched it and weighed it on its own merit.
Yeah,
and I don't like it.
Yeah, you didn't go off.
But he didn't go online and blast it on the internet. He just
and let people.
No, I just waited for the people. Well, mostly.
Well, see,
unless somebody within earshot of me was talking about how great it was, like, no,
oh,
you're
wow.
wrong.
Yeah,
and here's why.
That's funny. You're like, you know what? I move on with my life, and then all of a sudden, someone, and you're like, okay, you're wrong. And this is why you whip out this file you have. Just
I'm proud of myself for not weighing them against the originals. I would weigh each one on its own merit.
Yeah,
it doesn't
and
make
just
sense.
Point out every single plot hole and time they screwed up in every one of those movies.
Well, okay, so to be fair. In any of the original ones, did you do the same thing? Like,
yes.
And
there are errors.
But
well,
not
like they say, you know, the odd number ones, stay away from the odd number ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially number 5.
So that one was the worst.
Okay.
What was the name of that one?
That was The Final Frontier.
He pushed it out of his...
Yeah.
Wait, that one was the worst one?
I would say that was the worst of the original 6.
See, that's too bad because it had like a solid name in my mind. You know what I mean? That's a pretty, like, if you were to tell somebody, like, oh, one of the best movies, that's a solid name to tell someone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that just makes it all the worse. The fact that it had a solid name from a solid fan base.
Yeah, built-in reputation.
Yeah.
But whose brilliant idea was it to let William Shatner direct?
Oh, okay, well, see, that you just told me that the star directed. I'm like, okay, I'm already.
Nimoy directed 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, and Voyage Home.
The ones that
Shatner directed 5.
Yeah.
So you could see the takeaway there, so right off the top.
Did Nimoy come back for 5, or was he in 5?
He was in 5, yeah. Oh, okay. Spock, I mean, he's Spock.
Yeah, okay.
So he was there, yeah, obviously.
I
drawing a blank on who directed 6.
Wait, we're into the death of Spock? What do you mean, obviously? He shouldn't be in the sequel. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he wanted to kill off the character Spock so many times.
He tried.
That's much like Brett Spinner and Data, they keep trying to kill off the character, but then they end up coming back somehow. Yeah. I think in Picard, Data dies like 3 different ways.
Poor guy.
Well, he died at least twice, I think, in the Next Generation.
At least.
But see, look, if you tell somebody about the movie The Wrath of Khan, already you're thinking like, who the hell is Khan? Why, you know,
it's the guy with a great mullet.
Okay, well, that was one of the best callbacks.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's
from a movie based on a TV series, because that was the episode Space Seed.
But see, the thing for me though, okay, whoever made that movie, first and foremost, they were focused on like kind of, I don't want to see pandering to them, but sort of for the fans, for the Star Trek list, you know, not for Hollywood, not to make money, not to, you know, make like the blockbuster. Versus like where it sounds like, you know, Shatner would go out. You'd expect the star to, one, he'd be the star, obviously, you know, years after his role. But it also would be like, it would lose the sort of the thread, because I'm sure they're all kind of connected, you know.
Huh? Sorry, hit my microphone again. Oh, okay.
So that was kind of my whole thing about that.
I'm trying to remember who directed 6, because 2 and 6 were the best of the original 6.
Okay, so they see that's...
Well, at least it ended on a high note.
But see,
The Undiscovered Country was just... That movie, I could watch that anytime. I could really watch that just anytime.
See, is that again, fly on the inside or the outside of the window?
Outside. Ooh, okay. That's a big one.
I've been watching it for a while now.
I'm going to tap him right in his gut and I hit the... Oh, he's mad.
Nicholas Meyer directed 6. Good job, sir. Good job, Nicholas
Came,
Mayer.
Hats off
did
to
his
you,
job,
sir.
And then just effed yes. off. Didn't try to... Well, I don't know. Can't say he didn't try to make a name in Hollywood and whatnot. Oh man, I just really seen somewhere. I don't know how I stumbled across this about like celebrity crazy stories or whatever. Did you guys ever hear about this one? I'm really like just like damn about. But George Takei, of course, you got to blame.
I love George Takei.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, cool guy. But he was on the Howard Stern Show like in 2008,
and I think that's how he got the oh my. Yeah.
Well, I think that actually dates back to Star Trek, but yeah, every once in a while,
he said that. The instance that really made it, you know, take memorable off. To everyone was because of what was, you know, his appearance on the Howard Stern Show.
Oh, he was only there one time?
At least. I don't know if he ever went back. But
it's the one where he jerked off a guy? Oh, is that the one? That's what I was talking
about.
Oh, what? I thought that's where we were headed to. Yeah. Mm-mm. On the radio.
No, that's just where you always think things are headed to.
No, man. It just somehow. I'm
talking about Danzig tour buses and guys dropping their pants.
And Gigi Allen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That was in recording. Well, yeah. On the Howard Stern Show, he jerked off a guy on the radio.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well,
I don't listen to Howard Stern for that reason.
For that reason, I wouldn't either. But I thought.
No, Beth, you're not supposed to just not like a thing and move on. You're supposed to be personally offended by it.
So Beth will be going online later and how they desecrated the good name of.
I have to go on Facebook and blast about this.
Yeah. It's like even TikTok if videos. Yeah, that's still not enough to make me not like George Takei because he's. He's awesome.
Well, why would you get mad at that anyway? But
Ricardio, at your service.
Yeah, I remember when I first seen that, and I was just thinking like,
it's like you hear that voice.
Yeah, there's no mistake.
You instantly know who it is. Like, there's an episode of Avatar where he played the prison warden.
Prison guard. Yeah, prison warden.
And it's like he starts talking. It's like that's George Takei.
See, so just real quick side note, but on Avatar, that's all like American actors or what?
Basically, mostly.
They say it was like the American anime. Because it was made by a Chinese man who grew up in America or something like that.
So it's all American.
Yeah. It's all American.
Oh, that's cool.
It was made by Nickelodeon Studios.
Yeah. So, well, I thought maybe they bought it from Japan.
No. It was made for Nickelodeon.
But yeah, that's the shocking or the picture.
The question it's of whether blurred, it's an anime or an extra or just a regular American cartoon because. It was it's made by an American company.
Anime
mostly in America,
technically is like
but
it has to come from
done Japan. In a very anime-ish style.
And it was made to be in English. It wasn't like made in Japanese and then
dubbed. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I've been really close to start watching it because that's what I do. Like when we did that episode ages ago, where I started reading a bunch of stuff, and like the more I read, like man, this shit's fascinating. Like I want to, you know,
check Last Airbender's phenomenal series.
But then, then for me to sit there for a half hour, I get a little like, I don't know what it is about when it comes to like animation cartoons. My brain has to be like in this very specific zone. You know what I mean? Like I watch Simpsons.
You can watch the live action that was just released.
Well, see, that's what I was going to do with One Piece, because I heard One Piece.
It was done by the same guy who did One Piece.
Yeah. But I heard that new Avatar was good. First off, because they actually have Asian actors. They're not all.
Yeah. They're all Asian.
You could tell M. Night had zero say in the other
movie. Except for the Sokka and Katara, but.
But that's fine, though. But it makes more sense, you know? Yeah.
I mean, actually, it would be really weird to have a bunch of white people in Avatar, because each culture is based on Fire Nation's based off Japanese culture. The Earth Kingdom is based off Chinese culture. The Water Tribes are based off
Native
Americans, mostly the Inuits, the Alaskan,
something like that.
Yeah,
Alaskan. And the Airbenders are Tibetan.
Tibetan monks. Oh, okay. So that's also Asia. So you've got three Asian cultures and one Native American culture. So to have a bunch of white people on stage would just be weird. It wouldn't make any sense.
Well, ask M. Night Shyamalan because he had zero.
I don't think M. Night Shyamalama Dean Don there ever watched an episode of Avatar.
And you know, no, I think he did less prep than the guy who directed Dragon Ball Evolution.
Right?
And you know what? I'm going to put my foot down, but the year of 2024, the year of our Lord, which is Lord
Anno Domini,
2024, can we just give up on M. Night? How many times are we going to keep like, no, the guy's really a genius. He made these two, three excellent movies, but he's made a pile of trash. Okay,
which movies of his were excellent?
Sixth Sense is pretty good.
You did that one?
Yeah, Six. That's the one.
I never watched that one, but I've heard about it so many times.
For me, watching that, and then you get to the end, and like, holy shit, Bruce Willis was dead. Like, it's great how like you didn't pay attention to that,
big on the wow, what a twist!
Yeah, that's his trope.
yeah, and when he does it, is Unbreakable was a really awesome movie. I love Unbreakable.
Unbreakable was good.
It's pretty good.
That was good. Okay, I'll give him that.
Split was okay. I saw it in theaters. Split. That's more because I like the actor, James McAvoy. I call him McAfee, the antivirus guy, but. It's the guy that has a split personality, like where he kidnaps, I think, two girls or a girl, and then like every time he comes, he's like a completely different person. Like he's very nice, it's very cool, it's very twisted, like the sort of you know, and it has this paranormal side to it or whatever. But yeah, because so he made Unbreakable, then he made Split, then I think he made Glass, and that was sort of like his little superhero trilogy. Because Unbreakable was the Bruce Willis character that he's super strong and unbreakable, but he's only weak in water. Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson was the opposite of
completely
him.
Completely fragile.
Brittle bone disease.
A stiff breeze would shatter him, and so he's the main bad guy in Glass.
Glass Man.
Well, I mean, he's the main bad guy in Unbreakable. He caused the accidents to bring out.
Yeah, but like throughout the whole movie of Unbreakable, you think he's trying to help Bruce Willis' character, and turns out that, you know, he's prepping him to be his nemesis.
Yeah.
Which is what a, like, boring-ass guy, you know? They're just sitting in a comic shop, like, I'm going to make this guy my bad guy by murdering people and making him upset with me. I don't know.
One part of that movie that I always remember is, like, he's in the comic book store, and, like, the guy's trying to close, and he's like, dude, we're closing. You need to leave. He's like, God damn it. If you're back there jerking off to the Japanese comics.
I forgot that part.
It's like, how many times did that happen for that guy to instantly go there?
Apparently not enough to put up a sign, though. That's how you know.
No jacking off to the Japanese comics, please.
Why would you put up a sign?
That's always the underlying question of when you see a sign for some sort of very specific thing. How many times did this happen to necessitate that sign?
Yeah, like I've seen one a couple times where last time it was like in a university, but they have a sign in the elevator like, please do not press the buttons with your genitals. And so people say,
I mean,
like, you know, is this for men?
This is why you can't leave men alone.
Because that definitely started with
I bet you can't.
Definitely. It definitely did.
Do you think a woman is squatting down to press it with her nipple? Or like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's just.
I wouldn't consider breasts as genitals, though.
See, that's, I guess, yeah, that's true. I kind of like move past the genital part, but. You know what? If a woman can press buttons with her genitals, hats off to you. Do it all the time because, damn it, you deserve it. You know what I mean?
Give it a little click flick.
Go down to TJ and make some real money. You know what I mean?
We need to turn this around right now because we went somewhere.
It's funny. It went from George Takei jerking off a guy to pressing buttons with your genitals.
Okay. Were we supposed to talk about Iceland? Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Well, we still got a half hour. Well, okay. So, I mean,
is this a problem they have in Iceland? I don't think so.
You got to do the searches with the safe search off. That's
where I'm going. Is that where I'm going wrong in life?
Yeah, that's where you're going wrong in life.
Okay. I keep the safe search on.
Take off the training wheels, man, off the internet.
Oh, man.
Go to the dark web.
No.
The darkest of web.
Come to the dark web. We have cookies.
Ooh, cookies.
The ones you're thinking, though.
Yeah. You had me at a dark. All right, just a hard shift. You guys ever seen, there's a road, I forgot where it tells you exactly where it is. Oh, off the 180 here in Fresno, obviously, they have this fireplace. You ever seen that fireplace just standing out in the middle of nowhere?
Uh-uh.
I can't remember where it's at. See, I should have researched more, but it says it's off the 180.
Looks like it's out towards Centerville or Minkler.
Sure. I'm sure those are places that exist in our area.
Well, if you take the 180 east and just kind of keep going, you'll find the small little towns of Centerville, and then further out, you'll find Minkler.
Good old Minkler. That's popular.
Is
that's
that like, a you cultural know, center vibe Fowler, where you blink and you miss it?
Oh, Minkler, definitely. It's got a population of like 60.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
That's barely considered a place.
Centerville, you will notice you're in Centerville. It's noticeable.
It's a little rough.
Is it, well, is it kind of stands out from the surrounding orchards.
So that's a, that sound like
as
a
you get
trip.
Out of, you hit the 180 east, and once you get past where Sanger has almost reached the 180,
yeah,
it's just all orchards until you hit Centerville, and then I think Minkler, it actually like ends and becomes like a little dirt road or whatever.
Yeah,
and you turn south, and then you'll go straight into Reedley.
Mm-hmm. Is like Mark. Who
so
needs,
it's in between Sanger and Reedley.
Who needs Google Maps when you got Mark? You tell me.
Mark drives all over the damn place.
That'd be a hell of a gig. People call you up, you know, on your phone, and you just kind of direct them. You see the second McDonald's? All right, take a left, right there. Yeah, all right, you're almost there. You see that boulder on the side? And
where are you?
Okay, yeah.
I don't know, but the gas is not $3.99.98
or eight tenths. Discount gas.
Well, so I read more of the article.
So what's up with that fireplace?
The Highway 180 and Alta Avenue, east of Minkler. That's where it is.
There you go.
So there was a house that
east
was built
of Minkler.
So there was a house built in 1918. It is said to have been owned by the Granite Water, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Nobody cares about who's the president. The land is part of the Watoki Thermal Tract, which was plated in 1905. So in 1928, it was purchased by Jennings family of Sanger and moved in two parts to Sanger. So that's where I could give you the address if, you know, they want to stalk whoever lives at that house.
Well, they left their chimney behind or their fireplaces.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's, see, I don't know the staircase.
Yeah, most people misplace their keys, so their wallet, sunglasses. Say, like, kind of hard to misplace a fireplace.
And stairs. They just
and stairs.
So, say the way the stairs lead up to it almost looks like a shrine or something.
Well, yeah. I'm sure there's like, you know, the photograph is a little misleading. I'm sure there's like a little space and then
like
a fireplace.
Ancient ruins.
Mm-hmm. But it is like they picked up the house around it. And so somebody posted on Reddit how, like, does anyone know the story? And that's kind of where it got. But I thought, there's you guys ever read, I think it's mainly on Reddit, they have what they call creepypasta.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of creepypasta, yeah.
Well, one of the creepypastas that you guys heard that I've read, because I think it's pretty fascinating, and I'm an outdoors guy.
Creepypastas tend to be very creative, but also 99.9999% of them are complete and utter bullshit.
Well, if you start looking into it without feeling the shiver in your timbers, you sort of like, this doesn't make sense. Or just,
exactly.
Yeah, you start breaking
a lot
down.
Of them are, yeah, obvious BS.
Yeah. But well, so like, there's a creepypasta about like finding random staircases in forests or in woods, and so I think I've seen pictures, but again, they could just been to keep the lore alive. But I've kind of always looked out, and to me, like stuff like this makes sense. Where
those were probably like hunters' lodges that have since fallen apart.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the general consensus against, you know, from the non-theory, the non-tinfoil hat wearing people, or because I like all kinds of superstition. I wouldn't necessarily adhere to them, like where I put my life on them, but they're nice to sort of like, you know, for them to exist. Magic, you know, it's kind of like,
are they just leftovers from a bygone era? You know, little wooden cabins that have since fallen apart and fallen back into the ground? Or are they leftovers, doorways to a different dimension?
Well, see, you don't even get that. People just say all the easy definition. They're like, or aliens. And it's kind of like, shit, it's got to be aliens. Yeah. Is it my neighbor that wakes up in the middle of the night and steals my clothes that I left overnight in the clothesline? Or is it aliens? Oh, it's got to be aliens.
Mark works with a guy that's like that.
I have so much fun. No, just everything's aliens. Government conspiracies.
Yeah. Well, see, if we ever did that, the movie, that'd be the perfect, like, your role. You would have just follow him around with your notepad, like, okay, so even when I do that, still it's aliens. Got it.
Well, he is convinced aliens or ancient races from, like, 400,000 years ago had a huge part to play in the construction of the pyramids of Egypt.
Everyone says that, though. But he, like, believes it as fact, without a doubt, even though there's no evidence.
Well, the latest I've heard of pyramids is that it wasn't built by slaves, that it was actual, you know, hired people for it. And people think, like, how could they have lifted these giant things? Like, I don't know, pulleys, levers, like, there's
something ways. Like, because, yeah, that's the thing that gets people, you know, thinking it's aliens. Like, you know, these are huge granite blocks. They're tons, you know, a couple tons big. How do humans move these? Mark pointed out to the guy at his work, he's like, that car is 2 tons. And we can push that, can't we? Well, it's on wheels.
Yeah. I mean, okay. The thing people lose their marbles over is in certain tombs in there, you've got the granite stones that are really close together. You can't get a credit card between them. They're so well carved. And you're like, but that's only in those rooms. 80% of the constructions of these great pyramids is roughly hewn sandstone that was quarried from nearby.
Yeah.
That's why they're like falling apart.
Yeah. Sandstone is a very loose, very weak material. It's like just barrel. It's literally sand that was squeezed into stone over centuries. It was compressed sand.
So even with that little bit of trivia, you start thinking, if aliens built this, wouldn't they like make it a lot more like
durable,
magnificent? Durable. Yeah,
because archaeological explorations of it have turned that the pyramids they are now, they used to have the theory is because I guess there's pieces of it found around there. The limestone covering of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
So that it would have been a brilliant white that you could see even in the distance. It would have reflected the sun. Yeah. So it would stand out and just kind of seem to shine and shimmer because of the white limestone.
But by the time they were discovered by modern men,
6,000 years later,
it was already, you know, that worn had all off
worn away.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean,
the sands just, you know, sandblast basically. Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
Every time there's a windstorm through there, the sides are getting sandblasted. It's a very effective clean way to remove everything from, you know, you can put holes in metal if you sit there and sandblast a piece long enough.
Long enough.
Erosion, yeah.
I mean, you know, talk to people who do body and fender work. If you take a piece of metal, put it in your sandblaster and, you know, or media blaster and do it if you do it the wrong way, you can actually warp metal from the heat generated by the friction. So sand is very corrosive.
Yeah.
And I was pointing out it's like 80% of the construction, I'm just kind of guessing how much of it is.
Yeah.
But like most of the construction of these great pyramids is just sandstone blocks that were roughly hewn. Not all of these blocks were made with the exact specifications.
Yeah.
It was roughly hewn for, you know, just carved it out, shipped it. And then they were glued together with kind of a primitive cement.
Oh, okay.
And each one of these blocks, on average, because they're different sizes, weighs about 2.5 tons, 5,000 pounds. Your average 1-ton pickup truck probably weighs, you know, your buddy's Chevy 3500, Dodge 3500, weighs about 5,000 pounds. The diesels are closer to 6,000 pounds.
So what you're saying is aliens teleported pickup trucks back to ancient Egypt so they can move it, and then they teleported it back.
Sure.
Yeah.
So well, no. Like, if six just, guys...
Send some U-Haul trailers, too.
Yeah.
You're like, no. That's why California doesn't have U-Haul trailers. They're all in ancient Egypt.
You're like, no, you idiot. The pickup trucks would have disintegrated by now. We wouldn't have found them. Duh.
Just like...
But, like, you know, one of the...
Go back to Mother Earth, Mother Nature.
One of the theories of how they move the big stones is, you know, using the log rollers. So, basically, wheels.
Yeah.
So, you put something on wheels, like, you know, you're... diesel one ton whatever pickup, of course you can move it.
Six guys can push a truck.
Yeah. And if you have a bunch of slaves, I don't think they were hired. I think they were slave
I recently
labor.
Read they were hired, but
some were probably hired, some were probably slaves.
Probably the guy office, with the whips.
I was about to say the officers were probably hired.
Oh, definitely.
But the rest of them were slaves.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that's kind of interesting about the pyramid stuff. I've always, as a kid, I was real fascinated.
Well, what makes them even more mundane is that you can see the pyramids previous to the Great Pyramids. Hmm. If you look up the Red Pyramid and the Bent Pyramid, those were two of the run-ups.
Yeah, they predate.
To, yeah, they predate it. Yeah, they were. Oh,
so the technique was there.
There's a lot more.
It didn't
more
start
than,
and stop with Giza.
Yeah.
There's that's a lot more than just the big three right there at Giza. There's other pyramids in the surrounding areas. It's like, yeah, you could see the trial and error. You could see the technology debate developing.
And also there's the Aztec pyramids.
Yeah. We different. Were having fun pointing out how racist all these alien theories are. Yeah, this isn't complete racism to say the aliens built the pyramids.
Yeah.
Because no one questions the pyramids in Mexico.
Exactly.
I feel like they kind of...
So we're
like,
perfectly okay with the idea that ancient Mexicans built pyramids, but to say black people did it is completely unreasonable? Wait a minute. That's freaking racism. No.
Okay, look, to drop a caveat to that, you've been at Home Depot, right? You're like, these guys could totally build a pyramid.
They hired these laborers for...
Yeah, from Home Depot.
Outside of Home Depot.
See, aliens teleported pickup trucks. Who drives pickup trucks and Mexican laborers? To
usually
build
F-150s.
Yeah. Usually F-150s. Man. Yeah. With like, it has 3-tone, 4-tone.
All right, so it runs. That's what's important. Great.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
His cousin did.
Is it registered? Is it smog? Look, man. Why are we worried about the inconsistencies? We just worried
about
the facts.
The technicalities, okay? His
ancient
cousin tuned
Egypt.
It, it's good.
Ancient Egypt didn't give a shit about emissions, okay? We'll be fine in ancient Egypt.
Oh man. My sides hurt. That was funny.
Well, I guess we're almost going to wrap this up.
So I guess that's the moral of the story. If you think aliens built the pyramids of Giza, you're a racist. That's the moral of the story.
And I don't know the specifics, but there's other cultures that have pyramids. I got off the top of my head, but I know there's other cultures.
Yeah.
On top of that. So real quick, let's wrap this up. So I'm getting ready, you know, because I'm an old fart. But I remember last time we talked about going to strip club. Well, I mentioned that, you know what, for my birthday, I might go for a strip club. So I'm kind of getting...
Now, are you
no?
going as Tony
well,
or
I was
Tanya?
About to say, you're going to be going to a strip club on Easter Sunday.
Oh, now I'm definitely going, man. Now that it's, you know...
Blast
Bunny
for
Rabbit,
me,
the
blast for you.
Bunny Farm. Bunny Farm, here I come. But that's what's funny now that Mark says, are you going to be as Tanya? But so now I'm thinking, wait a minute.
You can
I was planning,
make money
yeah,
or spend
yeah,
money.
Yeah, I was planning on being a customer, not being on stage, but like, hey, man, is this open pole night or whatever?
I mean, we live in California.
So you might get a discounted lap dance because it's your birthday. Yeah. Just go in with a little birthday hat on.
Yeah.
We'll
I swear, it's my birthday.
We'll get the crown.
Yeah.
We have a little pink crown that's become tradition.
Well, this is happy birthday.
I was going to say, oh, that's even better because I was thinking
of
the birthday.
Oh, we need to go get another one because we're celebrating two birthdays today.
Oh, you're right.
Sorry. Go on.
You don't want to get, they don't listen to the show? No shout? If they listen to the show, then yeah, you don't get shout. Sorry.
I can guarantee you they don't listen to the show.
Okay. Well, then you know what? I hope your birthday sucks. I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on. No. We like them. We like them.
It's my mom and my grandma.
Oh, Jesus.
So we love them a lot.
I think I meant to ask that before, but did your mom listen to our shows? No?
Nah.
Not,
no,
what
but
about
she
your
was
other
featured
show?
In two of my two episodes on our show.
But I still don't think she listens to us.
Did no, she but shameless promotional plug.
Yeah, that guy still, you got to use it for something. But did she listen to her show at least? No?
I think so.
I don't think she did because she just cringes at the thought of, you know, like how,
voice
yeah, how I was when we had to listen to our calls at storage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's how I felt. And I think that's how she is too.
Yeah. But no, I did two episodes with her talking about her a time as a paranormal investigator, the Tulare County Paranormal Society.
Yeah, way back when Beth mentioned that, I remember like, oh, I want to do an episode with her about that.
And then I did another episode with her talking about growing up in a military family because it definitely, when you're enlisted, and then you get married and have kids, it definitely affects the whole household. Mm-hmm. When you're constantly deployed from one end of the country to the other.
You're gone for years on end.
Yeah.
Also, like, the whole family doesn't move?
No, the whole family moves.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So, you know.
Mom said that, you know, you just got to get used to the fact that you're only going to be here for 2 years. So you're not going to get any lasting friendships. You're not going to get any lasting, you know, relationships.
But real quick. Well, I guess you guys are you know, Fresno natives, but I've moved so much that honestly, giving me like a two-year window is like great, because then I could be, you know, like turn up the assholeness, and you know, you get people, the whole neighborhood mad at you. I'll be gone in 6 months. I don't care.
that is the given, the pros and cons of being basically a nomad.
Yeah.
Is every time you get to somewhere new, you can reinvent yourself and be whoever you want. However, it doesn't give any sense of permanence. Because
or
you're
stability.
Ash
to ashes, man. Ash to ashes. But see,
it gives you who you are as a person. You develop your personality
based on where you're at.
On where you're at, but also
relatively. Yeah.
If you're any level of conscientiousness, how other people regard you influences how you regard yourself. So,
but also growing up as a military brat. Your father, because back then it was all men, your father's rank and title also defined who you were.
Oh, yeah.
Because so, I was like, the first, mom says, that's the first thing you talk about when you meet new people. Well, what rank is your dad?
Yeah. So, that was a competition with kids.
Oh, I thought that's how you establish the hierarchy, you know? Like, my dad's a major. Like, my dad's a sergeant. Like, well, I guess, you know, the major kid is the one who's going to boss you around.
But yeah. My mom said, you know, because they all lived on military housing, and that you don't dare do anything to sully your dad's name, because he will hear about it from his officers.
Yeah.
And he will be pissed off by the time he gets home.
Yeah, the threat of when your father gets home.
Yeah, you need to behave.
Yeah. Everything you did reflected on your dad's.
On him.
So, yeah, the responsibility of it. To me...
You didn't get away with any kind of shenaniganry on living on a base.
Mm-mm.
And I guess for me, being like the fantastical idea of being a vagabond, I guess, would be, you know, from the point of view of now. When I was 10 years old, more than likely I wouldn't have, you know, had the same idea. Like, oh, yeah, I don't care where we move or whatever. But, you know, since moving around, it's just the idea of... You get a test drive in an area for 2 years is very appealing to me, you know?
Yeah.
If I could...
If it was... It's completely different when you choose to do that or when you're forced to do
that. Yeah, okay. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. That context changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine you land in a spot that you really don't care about, and you're like, oh, wow, this place is great. It's got a Chuck E. Cheese right next door.
So I think that having that opposite experience of, you know, having always lived in this town... plays into it's like why I'm willing to invest so much of myself into this house and, you know, in the surrounding community. It's like, yeah, I'm willing to go out and pick up trash or do something. It's like, I want to see this area succeed because this is where I live, and
I'm here for the long haul.
Yeah, I'm tied to it, you know. It's
I don't have a timer of like, you know, in this year I'm gone anyway, so who cares? It's like,
yeah.
There's a sense of permanence.
The strip club, right? That's what I had mentioned. But recently, I've been
back to the plot. Back to the plot. Well,
recently, wow, Eddie Ezra doesn't even do segues like that.
See, I'm a pro. Okay. But see, I get like I build up this sort of. I wasn't like dwelling on it, but it kept kind of growing in my head. But I was thinking, instead of a strip club, what if for my birthday I hire an escort?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's classic.
You're an adult. You do you.
Not a
hooker.
Yeah. There you go. Not a prostitute. Escort. Yeah. Escort, which is like a class. Or, you know, I could put that, you know, on my travel expenses or something.
Or a masseuse.
But that way, that's even better, because that's part of your what do you call it? Like, to calm yourself, you know, mm-hmm.
Happy ending.
De-stress.
Yeah.
I was
a massage parlor.
It's one of those where my brain starts going like half joking, half serious, where I was thinking about hiring an escort, but like to interview her. Like I'd have to get a, so you hire her for an hour and like, look, trust me, we're going to get a lot more out of this if we're talking for an hour than, you know, trying to
that like, would be a you weird... can talk, you can interview me, but I'm going to charge you for it.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, I'm not trying to cheapskate. I'm like, what are your rates for one? So if
that would be kind of an interesting episode to do, like just interview a hooker.
Well, I mean,
no.
Hey, man. First off,
I will not be here for that one.
What?
Well, no, I kind of did that one time while I was driving Lyft.
Unintentionally.
Yeah. Unintentionally.
That's funny.
Like, I just got in the car, opened my app. You know,
you picked up a prostitute. Is that what you're saying, Mark? You picked up a prostitute.
I transported a prostitute.
See, why? Call a spade a spade.
No.
That
doesn't
imply sex or nothing. Just
exactly. That's why I'm using the word transported. Wait.
Did you pay the prostitute?
No. In fact, they paid their fare for a ride.
So you're saying
from location to location.
You picked up a prostitute and she paid you. Is that what you're saying, Mark? All right, moving on.
I transported.
Now let's start the show. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I thought.
No, I was doing Lyft.
Yeah.
Jump in the car, gas it up. It's like, okay, I'm ready to start. Open my app, turn it on. Bing, ride. And I'm like, okay, sure. Hit the, you know,
it was off Belmont.
It was Belmont second.
Man, that is
right.
That's like the factory, dude.
Was their name Tanya?
No. Hey, do not besmirch the good name of the.
I did giggle to myself a little bit about going. It's like, wow. Mm. You know, picked up the girl right there at the.
Did you take her to her job?
Like it was a hotel. She was done for the night. It was 6 a.m.
Oh shit! Well,
She'd finished her shift.
Yeah.
And
are you sure it was a girl?
Presuming so.
Okay.
Hey, that's not important. You know, money's money.
I was just wondering. You know, sometimes prostitutes.
Different strokes, different folks.
But picked up my fare at the gas station right there, the food zombie or whatever it is.
Oh yeah.
Belmont First gas station.
Yeah.
And
I was like 2 blocks from
there. Picked it up there. Yeah. From there,
in a well lit
area. He's like, oh, okay, you know, it's like, you start talking about it. She like just finished work. He's like, honey, I grew up in this neighborhood. You don't have to kid me. I know what happens at Belmont Second.
she's trying to kind of like you know.
I was kind of beating around. It's like, oh, did you just get off work? She's like, yeah, something like that. You know,
something like that. Yeah, that's funny.
And we actually kind of started talking about it because at the time Beth and I were doing Amway, and so I start kind of mentally comparing it to. It's like it's. Gig economy. She fell into doing that because she didn't like the idea of having to punch a time clock. In doing that, she had the kind of the entrepreneurial mindset on it. That's what I found interesting was she could be her own boss, control her own hours, control her own income.
Did you forget about pimps?
I was about to say most prostitutes have to answer to a pimp.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get into too nitty gritty details. Dropped her off at one of the hotels at the Blackstone Ashland area.
Mm-hmm. Oh no,
that was where
so
she
went from
lived.
Where you lived to where you worked.
awful.
No, I think I was picking. You know, she just finished her shift.
Yeah,
basically, you were like venturing around like the sketchy part. You know, you weren't going to like River Park or somewhere. You know where?
It's wherever people. Want you to pick
you
him
gotta
up.
Gotta go where the fair.
It's not like he's over there hanging out, waiting for somebody to get you know, say you know, taxi. You know, it's like
no.
They request the ride and then you go there.
Yeah, it's hard at 6 a.m. to see people and raise your hand. Or
if I dropped off somebody in a sketchy neighborhood, I tried to amscrate out of there as fast as I could before
just tuck and roll.
Another ride.
You're like, I'm not even gonna slow down. Just tuck and roll.
If I dropped off somebody at Parkway, I got out of there before accepting another one because it's like I'm out. That's Parkway funny. Is sketch.
Well, at least now I
it's
know.
Like, you know, like do the
last
you know,
ride.
Last ride, so you can get back into a better. Because it goes by where you are.
Yeah.
To the relation or the distance of the person requesting the ride. So do last ride, go back to like you know a northern part of town, and
Bell,
then
you know,
and
back into downtown or tower or something. You know, if I'm in Parkway,
you just like lock the doors, like speeding, just
and
just
then turn the app back on.
Yeah, it's like okay, I'm in tower now. I'm halfway safe.
I'll be okay. Yeah. Just go to the well-lit areas. Don't go through the alleys. You're good.
You know, park in front of the dollar store behind the Tower Theater. You're all right.
But at least so now I know, you know, if I do decide to go that route, I know what area to go to and I get, you know, higher. I'll be like, did you ever get into an Uber or a Lyft it was? But yeah, so that's kind of my, I guess it's sort of my like, maybe I'll try to do something like that on our little introductory episode where it's like we do a little question of the day, you know, should I hire a prostitute? Tune in next time. Did I go through and hire a prostitute?
What venereal disease do I have now?
we do our episode of like...
yes, the VD by the symptoms.
Well, yeah, I do an episode like, you know, about, you know, talk to an escort and then like, all right, next episode, how to get rid of gonorrhea, completely unrelated.
That's like one time I forget what the heck I was watching. It's like one of those
little
weird,
combs for pubes.
It's like, you know, never trust anybody that can spell chlamydia or gonorrhea on the first try.
Yeah, I heard. All I know, I think there's two R's in gonorrhea. That's all.
I was watching Archer one time, and I like that show, but, you know, the character Slater, like, leaned over to some girl. It's like, so you're kind of crushing. It's like, hey, I'm an adult. It's my business. And he's like, well, just warning you that. He said the clap so many times, it's basically an applause.
That's a good one. I like that one. A few weeks ago, I finished the show. Like, I watched the finale movie, and it kind of ended kind of weakly, but overall, it's like...
Wait, finale movie?
Of Archer? Like, the last episode, I think, is like 40 minutes or an hour or something. It's like a movie, almost.
Extended.
Yeah, it's extended episode, yeah. Because Slater comes back, you know, I haven't seen him in a while, and he comes back.
Oh, yeah, not the worst mission I've ran this year. This week. Damn.
He was a really good character. And to me, the funniest part, like, the first time I seen him, like, is that Christian Slater? And then they call him Slater. And then I look at the...
That is Christian Slater.
Yeah, and then I look at the you know, guest star, and of course it's Christian Slater. I'm like, what the...
But he's bringing it back around. Yeah. The Yakuza boss that Pam did drift racing with.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, my. That's George Takei.
I don't remember
the Yakuza boss.
Yeah, that's funny.
George Takei.
That's even better. You get, like, this nice guy to be, like, this... you know, vicious, violent. Or I guess he was.
Well, I mean, that's how it was in that Avatar episode he did. He was the prison, a very mean prison warden. Very
sociopathic.
Yeah, I guess voice acting to me, I kind of.
It's all it's all acting. Just means that you're not typecast to.
See, that's weird though. That which with Archer, because of the character, for some reason, and the animation, I sort of forget that it's animated. You know, like I watch an episode, and then that's why even right now I was thinking George Takei. I picture him as like a dressed up in a suit and stuff. Missing his pinky.
I always see him wearing a suit. He's always like, dressed
classy.
Well.
He's a classic guy. You know what? I'll send you guys a picture. Maybe when he jerked off that guy, he was wearing a suit.
I'd rather not see that.
It's fine.
It's like, I don't watch, or I haven't yet watched Archer, but I've listened to him watch Archer.
Through osmosis.
And also Bob's Burgers. And, you know, I watched Bob's Burgers first. So it's really hard for me to see, you know, this suave, you know.
Oh, he's not suave at all. Well, he thinks he's
more suave than Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
You know, secret agent type guy with this, you know, greasy hamburger dude's voice. But,
yeah. I think I saw Archer first, and then when I saw Bob's Burgers, kind of like, what the? It's the same dude. H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, so for you, he's Bob Belcher.
Yeah,
I'm Bob Belcher. Well, then you need to watch the awesome season opener where he's in Bob's Burgers as Archer.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wow, that one's awesome. You know, he's sitting there like, I remember seeing, you know, Louise and everybody. He's just sitting there like confused of what's going on. And then he ends up murdering all these gangsters.
KGB agents break in there. He's like, why do I know these are Tech Nines? Why am I so awesome at hand-to-hand combat? I don't know, Louise.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's like I don't really watch Bob's Burgers that much. I've seen a few episodes,
it's a
but
great show.
I haven't like you know sat down and like you know followed the series. But I listen to him watch it because he watches it.
Gene might be my favorite guy
in the kitchen.
He's so awesome.
And but it's like the people from that show probably go home hoarse at the end of the day because they're always yelling, especially Luis,
the girl with
the girl
rabbits?
With
that
the. Chick who was Mel from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, Louise, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah she's always yelling. And Bob's always yelling. And what's his wife's name?
That's what I was trying to think of. I can't remember her name, but her, it's a guy that does her voice.
Is it?
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Right, or Mark would know.
Shoot, I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I could think Louise.
Tina.
Tina, that's her name.
Gene. And...
And then Bob.
Hang on, I'm on it. Yeah, because he's always yelling. You know, it's like,
they're always yelling.
And that's part of the comedy of that show, and part of what makes it great is Benjamin plays Archer, who is like an ADD kid let loose on the world trying
with
to be a
guns,
secret agent. And then Bob is like the more level-headed person of the character. So they have him do that contrast of those two characters.
Yeah.
Kind of stretches it, you know, it shows that he's pretty capable.
I mean, I don't dislike the show. It's just I can't see myself going out of my Linda, way to watch Linda. It. So.
Yeah, it's Linda Belcher.
Linda. Linda Belcher. There you go. Yes, there you go. Thank
For some
you.
Reason, the whole name connected it. She's always singing and stuff like that. I like.
She's always got some new idea.
Yeah. Her sister's always. Well, they're all nuts.
Her sister's nuts.
Oh my god, I hate her sister.
Yeah,
her,
yeah.
Butts.
Well, I guess with that, we could start the show. What do you guys think?
Okay.
1 hour in, let's start the show.
Sure, why not?